T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's what we've been waiting for.
It's Friday.
TGIF. And that can only mean one thing.
The weekend is landing.
It's time for the Reardon Round Table.
Yes, that is correct.
Sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust.
Now, here's your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
All right, I just had to shed the jacket. It's a little warm in the studio today. And you know what? It's gonna get hotter. I can just feel it. The panel is assembled on this Good Friday special edition of the Reardon Roundtable. Only special because it's the holiday weekend. Jane Duker is here, and you know, she hardly ever tweets and offers her opinion. We'll try to coax something out of her this afternoon.
It'll be difficult.
You know, are you in a rotten mood?
Well, yeah, no.
Gotta be in a good mood. Game of Thrones was back last week.
Game
We're
of
all
Thrones,
excited about
yeah,
that.
Now that was a nice good.
I
look.
Have a
Go
Game of Thrones surprise for you in the next hour.
Oh, you okay? Do.
I'm just going to tell you that. Jean Evans is with us this afternoon. She is the executive director of the Missouri Republican Party, former Missouri State Representative. Jeff Smith, former Missouri State Senator, also with us. Jean and Jeff, how are you guys?
Good. Good to be here.
Good to see you. Now, before we get into the Mueller report and all these other things, Jean was talking some trash about your softball abilities before the show, Jeff. I guess it was a congressional softball game a couple of weeks ago. Is this true?
It was the legislative softball game.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I elevated everyone to a position that I would be pretty frightened to do if we have members of our legislature in Washington. But that's another story.
If I won 15 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be playing in the real congressional softball game, Mark.
Well, that's actually a good point, right? Didn't work out that way. So what were you saying, Jean?
He's a pretty good athlete. It was just... He seemed to, you know, think very highly of his own
There was
skills.
A quote involved,
Why?
Right? What was the quote?
There was a quote.
He was asked if he would mind pitching when the pitcher looked like he was going to be injured. And he said, well, I can, but that might be a waste of resources.
Waste of my talent, right?
My best attribute in any sport pretty much is my speed. And so I'm kind of wasted, you know, at that position.
I see.
So I was just trying, you know, Elijah had asked me, he had texted
trying to help
me
out, right?
The night before, my coach, Elijah Hard, the Speaker of the House, had said, where will you add the most value? And I said, you know, I usually play shortstop, but at this age where there's a lot of kind of slower people, I might be helpful in the outfield, you know, because I can cover a fair amount
of
ground.
Right.
So there was missing a little bit of context, but yes.
There we go.
I
we have the context
that.
Now.
But it was one of the highlights of my evening, I will say, because we all kind of were like, oh, okay, Jeff. Whatever you
but
say.
They but they didn't, you guys in Jeff City didn't break it down between R's and D's. It was just,
no,
okay.
It's not like that. It was interesting, though, because some of the Democrats this year decided to do something else. They went somewhere else. And it is a fundraiser. It's always a bipartisan thing. It's a good time. I've always played in the past on teams with Republicans and Democrats. So that was a little disappointing, but it was still a good time. I was surprised you guys didn't win. You had a great team with Eric Schmidt and Ryan McKenna and yourself, of course.
Well, they totally stacked that team. The Eric Schmidt team is always
so basically
totally...
What you're saying is your team stomped them. Is that what I hear?
I didn't play.
Oh, you didn't play.
I did not
play.
I don't work in the building. You have to work in the building now, and so I was not eligible to play.
Right. You know, the thing about, and we're going to get to topics, but the thing about your comment about speed, which is interesting, a few years ago, the year before the congressional baseball shooting, I went to the congressional baseball game. It's not a softball game. It's a baseball game, fast pitch, pretty much the same rules as baseball we see at Busch Stadium. They allow some substitutions and things like that that Major League Baseball wouldn't. But the thing that stuck out to me is if there was a fly ball to the outfield, our eyes are all trained to see professional athletes chase a fly ball, right? And these guys that are on that team, some of them played college ball and some of them are athletes, but it was like you were watching someone go to the ball in slow motion. Because you're used to seeing pros play baseball, you know, unless you got a kid in Little League or something like that. So I thought that was interesting. All right, let me get to Jane here, because for 2.5 years, she's been talking about impeachment. She's been talking about the Mueller. You just wait, man. Trump's going down. He's not going to be here. If I had done that for the last 2 years, I say this with love, I feel pretty stupid right now, Jane.
Well, no, I
would.
Feel
I'd feel really dumb right now.
Well, no, I mean, the report has specifically said, with respect to whether the president can be found to have obstructed justice by exercising his powers under Article 2 of the Constitution, we concluded that Congress has the authority to prohibit a president's corrupt use of his authority in order to protect the integrity of the administration of justice. So, yeah, the cause is there. It's all whether they will have the political will to do it. And so, I mean, you know, they basically said the grounds exist for high crimes and misdemeanors, but it's not a criminal issue, and they're abiding by DOJ guidelines.
I don't think they exactly said that. I think
I read it. That's verbatim.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I
you
think
just said something different than what you read, but that's fine. That's not unusual.
Well, no, that's what he said. Has authority to prohibit.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was, it's certainly, a couple things are clear. One thing that's clear is that Barr did not accurately represent what was in the content of that report a week or two ago when he made his initial statement. But, you know, I think...
In what way?
Because he portrayed it as like this complete exoneration. And there are literally dozens of damning incidents. And I'll say this, and I think this might sound a little contrarian as a Democrat, but I was really heartened by reading the Mueller report. And the reason that I was so heartened is because time and time again, you see Republicans who are thought of as being Trump loyalists who are refusing orders, you know, when he's trying to obstruct justice, and they are reining him in, saving him from himself. Don McGahn, you know, doing it. I mean, he's you know, I mean, the closest thing to a hero in this report. And other
Corey Lewandowski refused too. But in, look, this is tough territory. Finish your thought, but I have a question about that, because here's what I think that these people did save him, perhaps, but. Couldn't, this is where it gets different with Trump. Couldn't you say, the guy is not a politician. He's not had experience in this. He's venting to a certain extent about things. He's saying, let's do this, let's do that. But then he didn't follow through on them either. He told people what to do, but wasn't like he came back to that and then fired someone and said, you got to go end this. So I understand what you're saying, but I do think that there, for this guy in particular, there's a different approach that he takes. We've known that for years now.
Yeah. Stupid attempts to commit crimes are still attempts to commit crimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you go down to the bank and you put a gun to the teller's head and say, give me all your money, and the teller courageously stands up and says, you know what, I'm not going to do that, and you walk out of the bank, you still tried to hold up the bank.
I would draw a distinction between armed robbery, first-degree armed robbery, and a president who's frustrated that a special counsel was appointed that is going to interfere with the proposals and the policy that he wants to sign into law. So I do think there's a difference there.
A special counsel who's going to interfere with the proposals and policies that he wants to sign. A special counsel that's going to investigate things that he did.
He saw it differently.
You know,
I mean, I understand. Yes, you're right. But he said from the beginning, but look, if you, well, wait a second here. I mean, I'm going to take Trump's side on this, because if I'm coming into office and I think there was no collusion, which, by the way, it was no collusion, okay? There was no collusion. That's not even disputable at this point. So then if I think I didn't collude, well, you know what? This is going to piss me off, all right? And if I didn't obstruct justice, it's going to piss me off.
Well, Kim Gardner thinks that she didn't suborn
perjury.
Well,
we're talking about Trump, okay? We're talking about Kim Gardner
later. But
she,
you know what? She's got a search warrant.
Well, hang on. Okay, you worked for Governor Nixon, correct?
Holden.
I worked for both.
Okay, so
I worked for both of them.
If one of them had come into office and been under investigation, would that have been a distraction?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't have let them do I wouldn't have been involved in an organization any of the things they did anyway.
As a new lawmaker, well, first of all, I can tell you, as a new lawmaker, there were a couple of times when my assistant was like, oh, you can't do that. That's something
we
can't
Gene,
do.
I mean, Gene, I know you. You don't even come close. Well, I mean,
you can inadvertently cross a line, not even knowing or not thinking like you can't do this. Like, for example,
once
you can't,
or twice, the whole report, I mean, that's not all mistakes. I mean, come on. I mean, if he's that dumb, then he ought not be president. Seriously.
Well, what's the part that you think, because obviously you think still, you've been saying this for a long time, and again,
I believe
feel,
there are grounds, absolutely.
Well, right, you feel that there are grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he's going to be impeached?
No.
Okay. So
no,
where do
I
we
agree.
Go? Because, look,
politically,
this...
the House is not going to do it because the Senate will filibuster it, so they're not going to do it. So they've made a political decision. It's not worth it. So
and we look back on the last time this happened, you know, Clinton got more popular when
right.
the Republican
right. so,
House
right.
impeached him.
So
and
politically,
I think, you know,
it's a bad idea.
And I think, you know, and I was... exalting Pete Buttigieg's virtues a couple months ago when I was here on the show, and America's learned a lot about him in the interim. But I think what he says is exactly right, which is, look, like, this is not going to get the country past, you know, these divisions if we impeach him. We need to beat him decisively at the ballot box.
Okay, so that, I'm glad you went there, because this now is all political in my mind. In other words, it's about the election. The American people are going to have to make a decision based on the behavior of this president in office, on Twitter, in, you know, in speeches, no matter what they think of him, and we're going to have an election. We'll talk about who he's going to face here in a moment, but I think at this point it's, and we're all people who follow this very closely, people who listen to this show are, you know, they love politics, they love the sportsmanship, if you will, the blood sportsmanship, but for the regular people out there, Jeff, do you think it's going to change any minds? I mean, people are dug in on the report. They're dug in on Trump. I don't think it changed anyone's minds.
No, I don't think it'll change any minds. A lot of the Republicans that I talk to are not fans of Donald Trump, you know, behind closed doors. But I mean, they're going to be saying the same things, you know.
Well, I think some of those people were relieved, quite honestly, because they're kind of going, you know, because this is our guy, right? And so I know a lot of Republicans who are not necessarily Trump supporters who just breathe a big sigh of relief over this report, because there's really nothing there.
I wouldn't say there's nothing there. I would say there's not much new there, because the Washington Post, New York Times, and other outlets have done a fabulous job over the last year and a half.
Oh, and BuzzFeed did a great job with that report about Michael Cohen being asked to lie by the president, which was completely unfounded.
Completely false. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I said the New York Times and
I
the
know
Washington
you did.
Post.
But I'm going to point. But you know what? The New York Times, they did a story based on that story. They all did. Everybody ran the story.
They said BuzzFeed reported.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they cited them, but
I mean, people cite AP all the time, but they're not responsible for the AP.
So what are the Democrats going to do? Are they going to actually come up with an agenda to run on, or are they just going to keep running against the president and investigations?
We'll talk about that next, Gene. Right. You've led us into the next segment, and I appreciate that. Gene Evans, former State Senator Jeff Smith, Jane Duker with us this afternoon.
Now, back to the Reardon Roundtable.
Sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust. Once again, your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Friday Reardon Roundtable. Gene Evans, who is the executive director of the Republican Party in Missouri. Jane Duker's here, former State Senator Jeff Smith. I should mention Jane proudly wearing her blues, we can't call it a jersey, her sweater.
Sweater. Let's go Blues.
And she asked the break, are we going to talk about the Blues? Of course we are. We have to save the best for last, so that's coming up a little later. Jeff Smith, you mentioned Mayor Pete, and I want to talk about Mayor Pete and some of these other Democrats here and how they may stack up here as we get closer and closer to the election. We're going to say that for like 20 months. Joe Biden expected the report today to get in next week. So assess the field of Democrats, Jeff Smith.
Hey, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch the Republican primary a few years ago. But, you know, Pete Buttigieg obviously has had an amazing surge the last 6 weeks.
So what do you think's going on there? Because I think that you sometimes look for a candidate that might be able to pop through the clutter. Bill Clinton did that, but it was a different era. We didn't have social media. We didn't have all these things. So what is it with Mayor Pete
even
that's connecting? Maybe connecting with people even more than Beto, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a few different things. First of all, he's had an amazing media strategy. I'm a little partial because my ex-girlfriend is actually his top media advisor, but I think she's done a fantastic job. They've putting him everywhere, you know, whether it's CNN or The View or podcasts that have, you know, devoted listenerships. He hadn't said no to anything, which when you're an underdog, you have to say yes to almost everything and you have less to lose, right? A lot of the big name candidates, maybe like an Elizabeth Warren, have been much more careful, you know, because they don't want to say something wrong. And it's redounded to Pete's benefit that he has been everywhere. Secondly, he's very substantive. You know, he's a mayor, you know, of a pretty small city. And so people did not expect, I think, him to be so thoughtful about national policy, about foreign policy, but he absolutely has been. So, you know, he's really been compelling. And third and finally, he's got this amazing life story. You know, for a young guy, you know, he's openly gay, in a wonderful marriage to a super guy. He's a veteran. He's a mayor. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's done a lot of things in a short life. There's been some of the factor of just he's a novelty and people aren't quite sure what to make of him, but they're intrigued by him. And he has a really good way of talking about progressive values in a way that's not threatening
exactly.
to people in the middle of the spectrum. And I think that's helped him resonate across the party.
I finally watched because I've affirmatively not been wanting to like get into this because I'm like, I'm going to be exhausted by the end. But I did watch an interview with him, and that was the first time I saw a Democrat where I was like, okay, all right, this guy is different.
Okay, so if people
feel
that way.
And I can tell you why, and it was exactly what you just said. I'm like, he's talking about things first of all, he's just open, and he's not scripted. He's not politicized. He's not he's genuine. He's very smart. Let's make smart great again. I mean, I'm yep. all for that. And he does it in a way that is not lectury, not, yep. You know, he can be progressive without making moderates like me feel like we're not welcome and that our message needs to be inclusive. So I hope that the crazies let him do that. I really do. But I was impressed. That was the first one where I said, I haven't felt like that since I saw Barack Obama speak for Claire McCaskill.
So, and this is sort of emblematic of the party. You know, Jane and I kind of come out of little different wings of the Democratic mm-hmm. Party. She's more centrist and I'm a little more to the left.
Yep.
But we both see a lot of things we like in this guy. And that's what primaries are all about, is who can bridge the gap between the activist base but not mm-hmm. alienate people kind of in the middle. And I think he may be that guy.
You know, Doyle McManus, who's a columnist that I like in the LA Times, I don't always agree with him. His politics is a little different, but he writes good columns. He wrote a column on Mayor Pete this week, said, Pete Buttigieg has everything except positions on major issues. That actually might be an advantage. I mean, there's no record of his votes because he's not in Congress, he's not in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a difference
there.
Who's
the last one like that? I mean, it does help.
Where that becomes Obama, important, right? Gene Evans, Donald is Trump. If you're going to take ads out against Mayor Pete, you're going to have trouble doing that because he doesn't have those positions. But do you think a guy like that could win the Democratic presidential election?
I mean, that's what people liked about Sanders. They felt like he was very genuine. He's lost some of that now. People are starting to feel like Bernie Sanders is a little fake because he actually is a millionaire, one of the millionaires he's railed against for years. But that's one of the things people like about Trump. They feel like he's unscripted. I mean, clearly he's unscripted and he says what he thinks. And people are looking to identify in some way with a real person who answers questions and is not just doing talking.
But I like Bernie. If I'm going to vote in the Democratic primary, and I might, I'm going to vote for Bernie because I think he would be easier to beat than pretty much anyone next year.
Well, I don't know if any of them have a, you know, but what's interesting how this, you know, the party of identity politics has really a bunch of white men at the top of their ticket right now. I mean, those are the guys that are leading are mostly older, but all white men.
Uncle Joe.
Bernie.
What's up with that, Smith?
Peter.
Come on.
Well, I mean, that's just a function of who's got the most name ID at this point. You know, there's yeah. right now, as you alluded to earlier in the show, Mark, the people paying attention are people like the four of us. And frankly, all the people who are listening to this show right now, the overwhelming majority of people don't tune in until the fall, well after the debates have started. And, you know, so right now, the high name ID of a Biden, of a Sanders, is really reflected in the current polling. Yeah. So I would just say it's an artifact of that. People are getting to know Buttigieg a little bit, getting to know a few of the other candidates. We'll see other candidates have their little boomlets as people get to know them if they like them. But probably, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Biden and Sanders don't have a lot of upside.
Exactly.
You know, they can drift down.
The only way is down.
But if you're not for Bernie yet, you're not going to all of a sudden become a Bernie person.
But what's funny is, and Jane said it, you Democrats, even though he's running as a Democrat, you don't want him either.
No. I've never been a fan. I'm like, if you can't even identify with my party, then don't run on my ticket. I've always thought that he is a charlatan. Mm-hmm. He's not. I mean, you know, it's all noise, and you know, and the Bernie Bros and all that nonsense. I mean, you know,
we love him, don't we, Gene?
Well, the other thing is, I think that's appealing about him. I've always said, like, Bernie's somebody I'd love to have a beer with.
Exactly. I wouldn't mind having a beer with. I wouldn't mind having a beer with George W. But you know, I mean, that doesn't mean I want to vote for him. But yeah, I think Bernie is Bernie. But and he combed his hair, which that takes away whatever cachet he had. Now, I mean, it's like, dude, you were the mad scientist.
But
now
he with the comb after he combed his hair? That's what. That's the real
I don't
question.
Even know how much? About that. How
much? Can we quit focusing on the male candidate's appearances?
You're right. I know.
How much pushback is he? You know, Gene mentioned the tax returns, and he made a lot of money from his book. He says, I'm not going to, he shouldn't apologize for that. I don't think he should apologize for making a bunch of money, but does that create problems with the people who have been such, you know, staunch supporters of him on these identity issues?
Nah, I think that's a non-story. You know, I don't think anyone will, a month from now,
in the end,
no one will be talking about that. I think at the end of the day, Democrats find the notion of 4 more years of Donald Trump abhorrent. And they will ultimately get behind somebody who they believe is the most electable candidate.
Do you promise that the left-wing kooks are actually going to say beating him is more important? I hope.
I mean, I can't speak, obviously, for everybody in the party, but I think that, you know, I think generally parties will go for the person closest to the ideology of their base voter who is electable or who they believe can win. And that's really the threshold Bernie has to get over. And I'm not sure he's done that yet.
But the progressives that were Bernie-crats then are still just as delusional about what will win as they were then.
It's, right. It's the biggest problem facing our party.
What about the people in the middle? Because that's who's ultimately going to decide the next election. And are they going to get behind Bernie? Are they going to get behind Buttigieg or whatever?
Well, maybe Mayor Pete.
They may get behind Mayor Pete.
I think that's more of a possibility because he hasn't staked out those radical positions of socialism that are so, you know, people in the Democratic Party are so fond of.
We would be teeing it up for Donald Trump. If you know, you guys want, Gene, you guys want to run a campaign against socialism.
Absolutely.
And so if we nominate a Democratic Socialist who doesn't really disavow that, then we'll be, you know, just serving ourselves on a silver platter.
Can you make sure that happens, Jeff? Would you mind just doing your part? We appreciate it. We got to come back with more of the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Reardon Roundtable, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust. With your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
We have some delicious Fritz's Frozen Custard coming for the panel a little bit later this hour. Jane Duker is here, former State Representative Jean Evans. She's the Executive Director of the Republican Party, former State Senator Jeff Smith with us. Jane, yesterday I had John Gascon on. He's a friend. He's a roundtable participant. I've always been impressed with him from the beginning in the aftermath of Ferguson because he's a kind of a common sense kind of guy. Don't always agree with him, certainly not on the Kevin Steincross issue, and I asked him about that yesterday, and unfortunately that's still lingering. But the St. Louis County NAACP, which John runs now, came out in support of the Better Together plan. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing that's troubling for me on that, and you can have your say, obviously, is that John, and he admitted this in my interview yesterday, he's a paid consultant for that. Now, his explanation was, look, this is not just him saying we rubber stamp this. There's committees involved. There's a process. They vote on it. But is that
wrong with working for a cause that you actually believe in? And it happens. Okay, but
the thing about that is where maybe not it doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, it's the perception is the reality part of that. That would be troubling to some people.
Look, do I think it might have been easier for him to come up and say, I'm going to join them because I believe in the cause, if he had just disclosed that? But, you know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Post-Dispatch wasn't going to be fair no matter what he said. So, I mean, you know.
How are they unfair with that?
No, they came out and just basically, you know, said that this is all, you know, they called him basically a criminal, saying that, you know, he was bought and paid for. And, I don't think that that's. What's interesting about
that? Well, it sure looks that way, though, Jane. I mean, maybe he's not, and I'd like to think that John isn't. But if you're a paid consultant, then all of a sudden, you come out.
You disclose that you're paid. But guess what? I mean, every single ballot.
He should have disclosed that before. He didn't disclose until someone asked him.
I agree. Yeah. But when you look at all the people who announced that they're in favor of these causes, all these groups and advocacy groups, and then they go and make money from the campaign. I mean, that is nothing new. You go and work for causes.
The other thing is it when you talk to some other people in that organization who said we haven't endorsed this plan. It didn't appear as though he went through the process to get.
He said yesterday they did that there was an extensive process to reach that conclusion.
There are interviews with people who don't ever participate.
Okay, that's possible. As an executive director, I mean, we have a president and a secretary,
so
and
you
that,
vote on things and you do things. John knows
and we
how
do
to
things,
the rules.
But you we don't. You certainly wouldn't come out and say something like that without getting the approval.
The people who are hating are the people who are not in the group and are just hating on him because they don't like the proposal. And I get it. And if you want to make this about John Gascon, that's fine. But these are the same people who refuse to debate at all the real issues that are involved.
It's easy to do in hindsight, but I think my recommendation would have been, look, if the NAACP wants to endorse it, John has to basically recuse himself because he's a paid consultant. I don't think there would have been, he could have come out and said, look, the organization voted on this, I support it, but I'm a paid consultant, get ahead of it. It would not have looked the way that it did. It looked
they voted on it and then he went over there. I mean, I don't know how it happened.
Okay.
I mean,
you know. Jeff, and what do you think?
I think what you just said is exactly right.
Usually it is. We'll just stop there. On the plan, though, and where we, because I've taken a wait-and-see approach. I still have said I like more about it than I dislike, but there's a lot of troubling things in it. But we all were talking here during the break, and this isn't going to happen because it's the right thing that should happen. Wouldn't it be nice just to have, without the vitriol, a legitimate debate on the merits of this proposal?
Right. I would like to hear. What I'm having trouble with is all the people that are attacking are, okay, well, what is your plan? Because it's not working. And I get that, you know, the people in West County are like, well, we're functioning, so don't blame us. Except you have a Taliban of muni lawyers, frankly, that have set up this 90 municipalities in St. Louis County. And, you know, no matter what anybody has tried, the legislature, everybody, to get rid of everything that's bad, it never happens. And so there is no alternative other to say, we don't like this. Well, then what's your plan for getting rid of all the municipalities that are holding us back, that are oppressing people, that, you know, the Moline Acres with its 1 square mile and its 12 police cars? I mean, it's offensive.
Yeah,
and it's
municipalities
that are
deriving nearly half of their total revenue from traffic stops, that are doing this in a way
that's... Well, now it's not cutting your grass because of the brilliant legislation that tweezed down on fines.
Have you taken a position?
I took a position 15 years ago. you know, I mean, I've been for this my whole life. In my first race, I was supportive of it. In my second race, and in both my races, when I was a kid.
But you're talking about the broader concept of the reunification. But I'm talking the specifics of this plan.
Yeah, I'm for this plan.
Even though, like, people in St. Louis City and St. Louis County may vote against it in the end, and then the rest of the state passes it.
You know, I mean, that's something that gives some people pause, certainly. And but I think at the end of the day, like we talked about, you know, off air, we haven't had a lot of bites at this apple, and we may not get another one. I don't see another group saying,
"Well, there's no alternative."
Yeah, yes, there is.
Hang on,
no,
Gene
I mean, there's no alternative.
There
I mean, that. Oh, come on.
What is it?
It's okay. There's no such thing as a perfect municipality or perfect place to live. Mm-hmm. And so the majority of people here, they don't see there's a problem. I'm not saying there isn't a problem, but they don't see a problem. And one of the things they do see is that their trash gets picked up and their streets get plowed, and they don't see that in the city. The other thing is you don't fix something.
But the people in the city think it's fine. So that's just it. I mean,
you don't fix things by making it bigger. You don't take two dysfunctional governments, put them together and say, okay, everything's going to be fine now. The way this is laid out, where we're going to have this unelected metro mayor, who right now we don't even know who that's going to be. Could be Stanger, could be somebody else.
No, they won't be unelected.
And they're going to.
I just don't see this as a 2-year issue. Like, you know, yeah, we're going to have someone for 2 years during the transition who not everyone in the region is voting for. For me, this is like a 100-year issue.
Exactly. I'm not going to let it be decided by one minor thing.
Right in the wake of Michael Brown's death.
Let Jeff finish here.
I'm sorry.
In the wake of Michael Brown's death, I wrote a piece in the New York Times saying that, you know, obviously the trigger that is causing the unrest is what happened with Michael Brown, but this is something that's been brewing for decades, because you have a whole part of St. Louis County with, you know, young people who have grown up in their first interaction with law enforcement, with the system, is this terrible, terrible, you know, municipal court system, municipalities that have no other way to survive than pull people over, this legal racket that Jane pointed to of people who have perpetuated this, jailing people for these tiny offenses, and then, you know, making people lose jobs because they're sitting in jail. I mean, it's created misery for decades. I want that to stop. So, this is a mechanism to do away with that. Everyone is going to be able to look through a plan this big and find something that they don't like about it. But what I like is getting rid of 55 police departments, most of whom do not have their full accreditation, getting rid of this terrible municipal court system, and stopping this little shuffle through which big box stores can just go across the line from
Manchester
Ellisville
Road
to Baldwin and get tax subsidies, which is ridiculous. You know, whether you're a more free market person like you, Jane, or someone like me, that's just disturbing. We shouldn't let companies...
I agree with everything you said.
And the same muni lawyer Taliban that broke down, you know, every effort to hold municipalities accountable on muni courts are the same ones that trashed the Boundary Commission. Every effort this region has made to make a change...
I want to hear Gene on this, but look, let's be honest here. A lot of this, and I know that you have the name calling and people talking about the municipal court situation. Let's just kind of talk about the people who live in West County or out where I live in Fenton, where they really, they think, look, I like my municipal government.
This is not going to get better for me.
It's only going to get worse. And the other thing is there's, you know, the foundation of our democracy is self-rule. And now we're having the whole state vote on it. So very at its core, it's very disturbing how this is coming about.
This was created by that happening. So the people who are complaining about democracy are the ones that actually put this in the Constitution in the first place.
No, they aren't. The people who live in West County didn't put this in the Constitution, or the people in South County. But the basic tenet that you're going to have the rest of the state decide your future when they have no idea what's going on here, they don't live here, and they don't have to suffer the consequences— it's undemocratic. It's un-American.
All right, we got to take a break. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I just want to address your point very briefly on people in Fenton or wherever that are perfectly happy with the government. This region cannot thrive or maybe even survive as a donut. You know, if the urban core struggles, eventually it is going to infect this entire region.
This isn't going to keep it from struggling.
We need to, I just feel
okay,
strongly.
Okay, here's why. I agree with you. But I'm not convinced. I am not yet convinced that this is the answer. Although, again, I like a lot of it. We got
to
take a break. We're coming back.
Now, back to the Reardon Roundtable.
Sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust. Once again, your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
All right, gang, we have Fritz's Frozen Custard to cool us off here this afternoon after a hot one. We have one more round coming up, but Solar Eclipse Sundaes, you love those,
Jane. Oh, that's
Jane.
The best one.
That's the Heath, the hard shell, the marshmallow on top of the vanilla. The Strawberry Crunch Sundaes are here. You can get those this weekend. That is strawberries with whole grain granola and the Butter Pecan Concrete, which is chocolate frozen custard with famous pecans and gooey butterscotch topping. Delicious.
Thank you, Fritz's.
Fritz'sFrozenCustard.com. Speed round here because we're running out of time. Sometimes I think we should do, 90 minutes or 2 hours on this. Steve Stanger, Gene Evans, does he survive this? It seems like a lot of people are looking for jobs elsewhere. There have been rumors about a possible indictment, which has certainly not happened, not necessarily of Stanger, maybe somebody else, but it does seem unlikely that politically, I don't know what's going to happen with an indictment or anything else, politically, can he survive this?
I don't think so, and I only had a couple of meetings with him. Anytime I've ever met him, he's always been very nice to me, but it doesn't look good. And someone said recently, well, maybe this is just a fishing expedition by the federal prosecutor, but federal prosecutors generally don't go on fishing expeditions. So they just don't. And the fact that he's not willing to, when Kevin Killeen interviewed him to say he's innocent is somewhat damning. Obviously, he's got to be careful about what he says, but for him not to say that that caused me pause.
I mean, the writing is on the wall for things not to go very well for him here.
Oh, I mean, the whole thing is a mess. I mean, San Luis County is a mess. So, I don't know.
He has not called you, Jeff, for any kind of advice on what might happen in the big house, though, right?
He has not.
Okay. I just wanted to check. Look, Steve's a friend. I like him. And I felt like I did play a role in helping him get elected because I didn't like the Dooley administration. But this is what makes me maybe even more sad, because if this did go on and there's corruption, he ran against that. Right. So
right.
I have not spoken with him. I've reached out. We certainly invited him, but even on a friend level, I haven't spoken with him. But I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen here because it's a mess.
Future, because if he's not there,
well, the implications, going back to our previous conversation, the implications are people aren't happy that he might be running the county city thing if this goes through. But now you might have someone who's appointed.
What's behind him?
Yeah, you might have someone appointed that could be running the entire kingdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's one of my problems with the whole plan is it seems like this wasn't very well thought out. For all the money and time that was put into it, this sense of governing and this lack of self-rule seems not well thought out.
Well, I also don't. I mean, look, this is part of the reason why people need to be looking at different solutions. But I'm certainly not going to choose what government we should have for the next 50 or 60 years based on, one candidate. Because if I did, I would say I'd vote no just because I would, want to change prosecutors. I mean, when people complain about identity politics, but then that's the first thing they say when they talk about Better Together, I get a little upset because it's like, look, can we talk about whether this is the right direction for the region? Is there a way, and is there an alternative or what can we do better? I don't hear much of that. That's the thing.
I think you're right, though. And I mean, anyone who's spent any time here can tell you that the current situation is untenable. There needs to be changes. And I have to say, Better Together has forced us to look at a lot of things we weren't looking at in the last 10 years. And there are some changes that have been made, but we haven't done enough. Well, is this the answer? I don't like the state vote But I do think a lot of the things they've recommended need to be implemented.
All right. I told you we'd save the best for last. Jean Evans is wearing her Blues sweater. We got to talk about the Blues last night. That was amazing. And I will tell you that I watched a good portion of the first period. And then I was kind of drifting in and out. It was 2-0. And I'm like, okay, forget it. I'm going to watch Veep, I think, is what we were watching last night. But then I was recording it. I always do this for the Cardinals games and the Blues games. And I tune it in just to check. Beginning of the third, the Blues had scored. Rewind that a little bit. And then that third period, and this is amazing. What happens with
everyone
playoff hockey.
Everyone in my house was asleep. I was like, people.
And the
was
Blues,
awesome.
When they go down 2-0, look, we've had issues with this team, you know, effort, dedication, all these things. But that team, when they were down 2-0, they were focused. They knew that they were up against the ropes. They knew they had to win that game. Look, let's be honest. They lose that game, very unlikely they're going to win both of the next two. Certainly it's possible. But I think we don't want a game 7, Gene, it's safe
That's
to
right.
say, right?
We want to win it tomorrow night at home. Yeah, remember, too, and if you Google Blues playoffs, you will find articles from late December and early January saying that they were virtually eliminated, that they were done.
Right.
And now you have a team that just won't quit. So for my money, of course, I'll watch them no matter what if they don't win a single game. But there's just so much fight in this team. There's so much fun to watch. And you can't count them out. You cannot count them out no matter what the score is or what you think is going on. They had a double penalty. They were 3-5.
A four-minute penalty kill. You could have seen, and Bennington is so good, there were at least 3, 4, 5 shots that could have been goals.
You see the
easily.
One where he looked around because he wasn't sure if it went past him? I mean, he was on it. They have so much confidence in him, too. I feel like they take a few more chances that they wouldn't, and sometimes it makes me nervous.
Hey, what's up with Canadians, though, man? I'll talk to Amy Markscores. They sit on their hands during the most exciting parts of the game.
And it's weird. It's all the white jerseys. And yeah.
It's a little creepy.
All the marshmallows.
I don't like them. I don't like those people
like
in Winnipeg.
It's bizarre. They're not Bluesers. Blues Hoosiers are the best people.
They are the best.
So we need to get home. Get our jerseys on, you know, paint our faces, and let's bring this home.
You know, this is kind of weird, and one of the things I said yesterday, just because in our minds, we play the odds sometimes, even though mathematically they're not accurate, but they had lost 5 games in a row in that 3 in the regular season, 2 in the playoffs in a row at that venue, in their venue, which is very loud, even though they sit on their hands because it's smaller. So, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, are they going to lose 6 in a row in that building? And lo and behold, they did, although they were shocked that they did. So let's go Blues. Let's hope we can get a victory this weekend. I don't think that we can handle the nature of the stress that might be in existence on Monday night. The other thing that I did want to touch upon just briefly, and I know you're a fan of watching Tiger Woods in golf, but the Masters performance by Tiger Woods, are you a golf fan, Jeff Smith?
I am.
That was incredible. It really, and not only that he was, and I know that Nicholas and these guys, they had big names chasing him too, but these were the biggest names in golf right behind him on his heels, and Tiger Woods wins his 5th green jersey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, say what you will, about Tiger Woods. Obviously, he's been through the ringer personally, but to have somebody who a couple years ago said, you know, my body is so damaged, I can barely walk and will never swing a golf club again, to reach the pinnacle of greatness in your sport again. I mean, it's just
uplifting.
Extraordinary to watch.
I mean,
I got a little emotional.
Dry eye. Yeah. I really did.
It was not a dry eye watching
when his son.
Hug his kid, I mean, it was amazing.
And you know what? As much as we slash people down, boy, we love when they redeem.
We got to go. Jeff Smith, good to see you. Gene Evans, thanks for coming in. Jane's going to hang out. Amy's going to talk Blues hockey. And she ran the Boston Marathon. Did you know that?
I saw on Facebook.
Time was incredible.
Can I ask you one quick question, Mark?
In five seconds.
Okay. Where's my Fritz's frozen custard?
It's in the other room. You're going to get it. Don't worry about it. It's right there. Take care of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.